AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call Craig at 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. That's CB Financial.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
KVOA News time is 8:56. It is Newsmaker 2 time here on a busy Tuesday morning, and it's good to have Unbound Gravel organizers Ben Sachs and Treva Worrell joining us here today. A lot of news coming out here with Unbound. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. Treva, how are you today?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
At this point, not bad.
Good.
This is obviously the busy home stretch here for Unbound. And Ben, yes. One of the key parts of information is now out and available here for the riders. Routes.
That's correct. We did our course reveal video yesterday, giving people kind of instructions and info about where the course is going, where we have checkpoints and things like that. As has been announced before, we are headed back to the south into Chase and Greenwood counties this year after two previous editions going north from town. So we are back to using Madison and Eureka as our major checkpoint towns for the 100 and 200-mile courses. My course design this year on the 200-mile, I think, should be a pretty exciting one, using a lot of the same kind of landmarks and features and roads that have been used in, for example, the 2016 through 2018 courses, but remixed a little bit in that we come back into the kind of high country Texaco Hill Ridge at about mile 135 to 140 on the 200-mile course. So we go through it and then get to come back into it again later on and kind of spread out the long taxing climbs across the course. Also, really cool feature adding this year, we're going to be using the town of Hamilton as a water oasis location with only having two checkpoints for the 200-milers. We're also doing some support from the race organization of water oases, one at Texaco Hill, mile 40 for both the 100 and 200-mile riders, and then one at mile 119 for the 200-mile riders. So they'll get to stop in the town of Hamilton. That little town is excited to welcome us there. New design on the XL course as well, getting to go all the way down south to kind of around Beaumont between El Dorado and Eureka. There's another really, really cool ridge there that they get to climb up and then descend back down again. Unfortunately, I think it's a really, really beautiful area. Some of the coolest stuff in Kansas, but riders are going to be there in the middle of the night.
They may not feel the same way.
No, I don't think they will.
I didn't see much, but
they'll imagine
I felt it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Ben, let's talk about, you mentioned the course routes going south again, and this will differ from past south routes that Unbound has taken. What goes into putting a route together? How do you go about getting down, sitting down, say, here's what we want to do. Do you sit down with your team and kind of go over routes, what will work, what won't work, what might be the most taxing or testing for the riders?
Certainly we do talk amongst the team, but there are a lot of considerations that go into it, including conversations with the emergency services folks, sheriffs and folks like that in the different counties, trying to balance what we think will be an exciting and challenging course for the riders, but trying to also keep riders safe, trying to choose the best places where we can cross highways and things like that, you know, the best ways to approach into the checkpoint towns. So, you know, a lot of discussions with local organizers and officials goes into it, as well as then, you know, trying to figure out the way that it works best logistically. So, you know, the 2016 through 18 courses, they had a checkpoint at mile 50 for both the 100 and 200 mile riders in Madison. The event is growing more and more. We're going to have almost 3,000 riders between just those two distances. And I really did not think that we could fit all of those riders and their support crews in Madison all at the same time in the morning, which is why I went to that water oasis stop at mile 40 and then skipping straight to Eureka for the 200-mile riders. Made a little bit more work for myself in having to figure out how to truck out over 1,000 gallons of water out onto Texaco Hill, but that's part of what goes into being a race director.
It's true.
Wow.
And Treva, too, on this, you know, talking about the checkpoint towns, talk mm-hmm. about some of the prep work that's going on and the coordination between, you know, the officials in Madison and you know, Eureka, and even including Hamilton with the water mm-hmm. oasis now, you know, between now and race days in order to make everything flow smoothly.
Yeah. Well, actually, since we have been in the South before, we've gone through Madison and Eureka, so they're both excited to have us back. Actually, Michael Wuerl is heading up the checkpoint for Madison, and then the principal.
And then Sean Spoons, the principal
in Eureka.
Yeah, at the Eureka High School. He was a good contact to make because the checkpoint is at the high school, so having him as my kind of volunteer coordinator down there made things quite a bit easier, you know, access into the school and things like that, and they also help us to recruit some volunteers. So, you know, we have a couple ways of getting volunteers. One is through just individual sign up, and a lot of riders do that and volunteer because they can get into it, guarantees them access through the through the lottery system the next year. So we get a lot of signups on like Thursday, Friday through that method, but then not nearly as many on race day. So in these local communities, we use our local contacts there to recruit like, you know, sports teams, you know, high school teams and different groups that can use this as a fundraising opportunity. So we actually pay the groups to come and help us run those checkpoint areas.
Well, you're not only looking at volunteers, Treva, at these checkpoint locations, but you need a massive amount of volunteers for this whole event itself,
do you
not?
Oh, man. We wouldn't be able to make this event happen. It's because of the volunteers. And we love our local volunteers. They love to come and do packet pickup, and we do have a few spots still available for packet pickup. You can go to our website, unboundgravel.com, and we do have a link for the sign up. But it's filling up fast because, like Ben said, we do have the volunteer program that allows people to volunteer for a minimum of 10 hours, and then they get to bypass the following year's lottery. But this year, we're just so grateful for the groups. Like, we have Payne's Promise helping with the crew for hire, along with Camp Alexander. And we love to get all of the schools and the areas involved because basically our event, we're just wanting to give back to these communities. Not only are we coming in, and I feel like, you know, it could be a little bit of a pain if you can't get to your post office, but please understand that we're bringing some, you know, some money to your town. So we do want to give back to these communities. So we have like Emporia, the wrestlers, girls and boys wrestling team. We have the Chance, OHS. We have the Honor Flight and Stucco that will be helping us, and the cheerleaders. Madison is going to have a few groups along with Eureka. And we are just very grateful for all of the groups that come out and help us make this event possible.
Yeah, yeah. I know you've had service clubs and organizations that are heavily involved, and churches too that get groups together. So
And I always try to keep that in mind, as Treva said, you know, the real reason for having events like this, you know, past all of us, you know, being crazy bike nuts and just, you know, loving the sport, is, you know, to bring, you know, economic gain to the community and to give back to it. So, you know, we bring in all these people that are shopping in stores, you know, paying volunteer groups, and, you know, we try to, even though it may be a bit of a disruption, you know, for a few days to kind of daily life, I think it does bring a lot to the community in Emporia as well as the towns that we visit.
No, I think after volunteering too, you get those people, because I mean that's how I started. I actually started volunteering in Madison, and I feel like you get the bug there just to want to get on your bike. I mean Lifetime, it's the healthy way of life. So I mean it exactly goes in with everything we do. So we not only want to give back, but we also want to get more kids on bikes, get women on bikes, get everyone on bikes.
Yeah. Well, the economic impact is robust.
It's
I don't
huge.
Think there's any debating that. That's very significant.
Indeed. Let's talk here, Ben, about the pro field, and then Tree will let you talk about the ongoing local impact.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the pros here first. That'll be coming in part of the key races later.
So I am a huge fan of following pro cycling. I follow, you know, the World Tour, you know, the Giro d'Italia is going on right now. So Lifetime actually created this year a Grand Prix six race series. So Unbound is going to be the second race in that series. Our other event that we coordinate, Big Sugar, down in Bentonville, Arkansas, is the last and sixth race of the series. So that is a whole new way to follow gravel cycling, off-road cycling in the United States. Flow Bikes is broadcasting, I believe every race should be broadcast to some extent. So there will, you know, be again a live feed to follow. So yeah, we have the 60 or so Grand Prix riders are all going to be doing the 200 mile distance, save for I think Taylor Ledeen, who decided to take his bye on this race and defend his title as the XL champion.
Wow. So some sort of bye.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But we have all of our defending champions coming back, Lauren Stevens and Stephen Hyde in the 100 mile coming back. We'll see if maybe Raylan Nuss can give Lauren a run for her money. Raylan being a Kansas rider out of Lawrence. Some notable ones to us in the 200s. So we have Lauren DeCrescenzo and Ian Boswell coming back to defend their titles in the 200 mile distance. Few others on here, of course. Ashton Lambie, kind of a local Midwest hero.
We claim him as local.
Yeah. He's the current 4 kilometer individual pursuit world champion.
Wow. So
a very different effort than 200 miles being, you know, a 4 minute all-out sprint. We also have One shout out I want to make to a buddy of mine, Curtis Feltner, who is from my hometown of Manhattan, Kansas, and currently lives in Bentonville. He's signed up in the pro field in the 200. So there's just a few kind of notable names. Adam Roberge, who won the Big Sugar last year, is coming to this one as well. So. What about some local riders?
Who cares about those pros?
Well, that is. I mean,
I'm joking.
No, I mean, honestly,
they bring them to town. I'm just giving you crap.
I know, but to a great extent, I agree. Honestly,
I mean, everyone knows I'm the middle back of the pack fan, but no, I love there's pros that I get a little like, oh my gosh, so and so's here. No,
right.
I get it. I was just.
But, yeah, I mean, as race director, it's not really the pros that I worry about. You know, it's my job to try to keep everybody safe out there. So, you know, in my head during the day, I'm not really worried that much about how the pros are doing. You know, I want to make sure that those folks at the back end are doing well and no one's having big crashes and, you know, communicating with all the emergency managers to make sure that people are taken care of out there.
So do we have big local flavor again,
we
Treva?
We do. So I love the outpouring we get from locals. It's awesome to see them coming back every year. I want to do some shout outs to, I know we've maybe touched on this, the 1,000 Mile Club. We have a few this year that are locals. So Glenn Bluebaugh from Madison, Michael Reynolds, Paulina Batiz are all going for their grail this year. We have a couple XLers, Adam Galindo and Ryan Bacchanal. I feel bad because I can't name everyone that I But we have to give it. Leland Danes, you heard it here first, is going to be riding this year.
He is.
He's doing the 50 this year,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So we're really excited that he gets to get out there and have some fun. But yeah, we're super excited about all the people. And there's a new local from California, Robert Spada, which this is what I love about it, is that people move here because they love coming to the event. So he's another one that is now an actual local and will be riding again this year.
Yeah, I think three we had move in the last year. To be in the home of gravel cycling, going back to that economic impact. People coming to town buying houses.
Yeah. And I just love seeing the growth. Jerry Krause, he's doing the 100. And I remember last year he started out with doing the 25 or the 50. I can't remember. But it was really exciting to see him now doing the 100. I just love seeing everyone move
up a level.
Yeah. And the 100 is amazing. There used to be a time where 200, that's where you want to get to. But now, 100 is, it's just enough. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Big shout out to Andrew Kraft doing the 200 mile this year. He came on board the team, helping out as kind of my warehouse coordinator, has been helping with a lot of the guides I've been putting together for groups, and helping me manage the warehouse and shipments and things. So he's been a huge help on the team this year. Yeah.
The whole Kraft family are big supporters of the event. They always are willing to support and volunteer, and then they sign up for the event. I love that. We have so many of those families.
Well, I know that... we just got a little bit of time here left because we want to get you back in here again for the event. But let's talk about, too, something that, as far as the growth goes, and that's the expo.
Erupted. Wow.
Ben, what are we looking at this year?
I can't wait.
What are we at? Over 300 booths sold? Yeah, so 300 distinct brands.
We got to take on another block.
So we're taking up two whole blocks of mechanic between 6th and 8th Avenues and the parking lots there, which was the plan for last year. And we're finally kind of on the upswing after the pandemic, and folks willing to travel and gather again. We have a huge showing for the expo. It'll be the biggest one ever. Mm-hmm.
So when will the expo start?
Yes. So the hours for the expo were 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursday, June 2nd, and then from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, June 3rd.
And we have a full schedule on our website, too.
Okay.
But people show up just for the expo. It's like its own event.
Awesome. Well, Unbound is fast approaching. The course reveal yesterday. Unbound activities, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th?
So with the 5th, there is the Rockstar Award ceremony at 8 a.m. at Granada Theater. That's not usually a big spectator thing.
Sure.
That is kind of the final activity on Sunday morning.
But you can join us at Mulready's for hour 25 for a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's kind of where we all have to go. You don't really go to bed. But I do also want to say one more thing. Locals, you have the chance to get your merch first down at Gravel City because it's already on the floor. And you don't want to wait for that weekend or even leading up because it will go fast. So if you want your Unbound merch, get down there.
Okay, so
Gravel City Adventure Supply.
So we're looking at how many races will be taking place on race day.
So we are going back to having basically all of the races on Saturday. We went to a Friday for the juniors 25s and 50s last year. That was another sort of COVID protocol, trying to spread things out. But the XL will release from the expo area on Friday, the 3rd at 3 p.m. And so people can gather to see them off. And then on Saturday, we have the 200 milers launching at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. for the 100 milers. The juniors will start their race at 8:30, and then the final release for the 25s and 50s at 9 a.m. And then people will start coming in. The fastest juniors really only take hour and 15 minutes or so to do their 25 miles.
We barely get the finish shoot.
Yeah, so we'll be rushing to get the finish all set up and cheer them in once they finish, and then people will be rolling in all day.
Outstanding. Sounds good. Well, the plan is set for Unbound Gravel 2022. A huge turnout expected in Emporia and going through neighboring communities to our south, Madison, Eureka, and Hamilton throughout the course of the event in early June. Ben, Treva, thanks so much for joining us here
today.
And looking forward to getting you back on the schedule here the next couple of weeks and getting ready for Unbound 2022.
Thank you all.
All right. Ben Sachs, Treva World, joining us here on KVUE's Newsmaker 2 segment here today.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6. CB Financial.
Alcogen is seeking top talent at their Council Grove location.